Thanks.
Okay. Well, hey. Welcome to Dallas.
Yeah, first time in Dallas.
First time.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about the weather. It's kind of to the point where even we're embarrassed. You know,
I
it's
saw
just
that on
like,
the news this morning.
Yeah, it's hot.
One of the hottest places in the U.S. right now.
Yeah, I don't know if we can compete with Arizona, but we're close.
Not too far from Arizona, from what I see on the temperature record.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy right now.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is your first time into Dallas. Is it your first time into Texas?
This is my first time into Texas and Dallas. Yeah, I've never been. I mean, I've been to the States a lot, but this is my first time here.
Yeah.
So I'm sad not to be able to see more of it because I'm going to San Francisco after this.
Uh-huh.
So
you stopped by just for the screening and then this press.
Well, we're doing a big tour for a 4-city tour: New York, Dallas, San Francisco, LA. Press junkets for the movie.
For the movie. Okay, and so was this? Did you see it at when it played? It was at Toronto, correct?
The movie came out for the first time. It came out first in Europe last year.
Uh-huh.
So it was out in France and in Europe in October 2010. So that's when I saw it for the first time.
Okay,
and then I toured with it.
And so you got to see it again last night, and then you didn't watch it?
No, I was in the plane at that time.
Okay.
I've seen it a lot, but I saw it again at the New York opening at the MoMA on Monday.
Okay.
That was very exciting.
Yeah. And so how did you participate in the Q&A? Were you able to...
Last night?
Yeah.
Well, I was there for about half an hour, and great audience, very good questions, very nice to meet my readers. A lot of people had read the book.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm sure you're aware this book's done very well in the States, so a lot of excited readers were there last night, so that was really nice.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so, I mean, what is your reaction to the film so far? I mean,
what do you think?
I've
come all the way from Paris, France, and do this 4-city tour if I didn't like it. Honestly,
absolutely.
Tell me the truth.
Well, I mean, you know, some people do. Some people, you know, they're tied to their product.
But I'm the writer. I'm not an actress.
This is true.
You know, I'm not not the usual part of the movie team.
Exactly.
If I'm here today,
it's
because Gilles Paquet-Brenner did a very good job, and I want you to tell all my readers from the USA, and there are 3 million of them out there.
That's a lot.
To go and see this movie.
Absolutely.
That's why I'm here. It's for Gilles.
And talk a little bit about how involved were you with the film. I mean, I noticed you didn't have any writing credits. Not a lot of information is known about, you know, the production process for the particular film. How much input did you have, if any?
Well, I'd say that this whole adventure was on a much more emotional and a friendly basis, in the sense that, first of all, the producer of the movie, Stéphane Marcil, happens to be a very good friend of my sister. So that's the first thing. And then the guy who wrote the script, Serge Joncourt, happens to be a very good friend of mine. He's a writer, and I know him very well. So when I knew that the movie was being bought by Stéphane Marcil and was going to be written by Serge and Gilles Paquet-Brenner, I immediately felt that I could trust them. And when I met Gilles, he's a great guy, young guy, tremendously dynamic, and they all said to me, we're going to respect your book. And they showed me the script very early on, which I loved. Then they took me on the set. I play a cameo part in the restaurant scene with Kristen Scott Thomas. My kids play in the Vendive scene. So I was included ever since day one in the whole business of this movie. And, you know, I have 4 other books that are becoming movies in France. And I know that those movies will never reach the emotional level that I went through sharing everything that happened, making this movie, promoting the movie, because, you know, we've toured Europe with this movie, Gita and I, and the actresses. So it's been a... maybe my name isn't in the credits, but look, hey, it's right there. It's as big as Kristen Scott Thomas's, right? Please. So, and what I love is from the Beloved novel, I love the fact that America has put that, Beloved, because that's the most important thing for me, that my readers will find this book, and I've trusted Gilles from the start, so this is a very close it's both a friendship affair and a professional. It's, you know, almost like it was perfection, really. I think most authors will not be telling you this.
Mm-hmm.
I've met many authors who are very upset with the
with their adaptations.
Yeah. I think I'm a rare case.
Obviously you're on the press tour, so I'm very curious. You know, with films that are made out of books, do you prefer reading the book before the film? Yeah. Or after? Or do you have a preference? Is it...
Well, you know something. It's very... It depends. Like, for example, imagine, like, there are two books that are two of my favorite books, The Great Gatsby and Gone with the Wind, that have been made into movies. And I love those movies as much as I love the books. That's really rare. Sometimes I get to see a movie that's adapted from a book that I haven't heard about, or I love the movie so much, I will, of course, read the book. This is the case with a movie that I saw recently, The Lives of Pippa Lee, by, I think it's Rebecca Miller, who did the movie. And I love the movie, but I really want to read the book. And so it really works both ways for me. I have discovered great books through movies and the other way around. So I think they're really linked. And I think books and movies are going to go a long way together in the future. I think we writers are very important material for directors.
Absolutely.
They need us.
Yeah, and especially because they need something new to adapt. You know, I mean, Hollywood, they often recycle ideas,
right.
And you know, novels are, you know, a key ingredient to say, hey, this is something fresh, this is something different.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny because you have mentioned several times in several interviews that, you know, you didn't discover this event. I don't want to butcher the name. What?
The Veldiv Roundup.
The Veldiv.
Yeah.
Okay.
Veldiv Roundup.
And you discovered this in 95 after Turok's...
Right. Well, not discovered it. I'd say that was the first time I heard of it.
Heard of it, okay.
Heard the name.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I remember hearing the name.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was it kind of a release to write the write the novel through Julia's eyes? Because she's discovering it in the novel as well. And, you know, were you working through some emotions yourself with, you know, how you wrote her character?
Well, she's very different to me in her lifestyle, in the sense that she's American, I'm French. She's married to Bertrand, luckily I'm not. But yes, I did give her the shock and the horror that I felt discovering everything that happened in July 1942, because it's the details of the roundup that we were not taught about at school. Now children are. And so, yes, that in that perspective, yes, we are very alike, in the sense that she takes this very seriously. And I think that I felt such pain and horror when I realized how these children had been treated. And I think that that's what I gave to George Jarman, and that's what Kristin Scott Thomas brilliantly portrays in the movie, that wonderful emotion and that class and talent that she has.
You mentioned just briefly that it's now taught in schools.
Yes.
Why do you think that is? What's been changed? Because you mentioned in several interviews that when you were growing up, you weren't taught this in schools. So it was kind of glossed
France,
over.
France is now slowly coming to terms with this very difficult part of her past. And I think the change probably came in the 90s when, after Jacques Chirac's speech, when Jacques Chirac was the first president to publicly acknowledge the role of the French police during this roundup. And I think that that kind of shifted the way that people were looking at this, and a lot of people were realizing that it was now time to look back at this past, and instead of ignoring it and pretending it never happened, to say, yes, it did happen, and let's make sure it doesn't happen again.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, when you write a book like this, you know, you may not have a sense of how far it's going to go. What was the moment for you when you realized, hey, this is really starting to take off? Was there a moment in a bookstore or on the radio or on TV?
You know, this book now has been published in 40 countries, and it's It's sold. It's been a bestseller in several countries, in your country, in France, in Holland, for example. So I'd say it was kind of a gradual thing. It didn't happen like, you know, bang.
Oh, yeah.
It happened little by little, but there was one moment, I think, when the movie came out in France, and then when the French tie-in edition with that picture came mm-hmm. out, and all of a sudden people were recognizing me in the streets, because I'd had a lot of media coverage and TV shows and whatever in France.
And you're on the back of the book.
Exactly. and all of a sudden people were recognizing me, and that's when I suddenly realized that something had changed, and which I'm still sort of trying to get used to now, because it is a little overpowering sometimes, but very exciting, of course.
Uh-huh. I noticed in the book that there isn't chapter titles. I don't know if, you know, clearly I'm reading the American book, but you wrote this in English.
Yeah, right.
From right out of the, you know, from the outset.
Exactly like how I wrote it.
Your previous 8 books were all written in French?
Yes.
Yeah. I noticed that not only do you not have chapter numbers, you also have different boldness
yes.
between, you know,
the
two stories. Was that and I overheard that you hadn't really maybe made that conscious decision, that was maybe a publisher's decision?
Well, in fact, when I wrote the book, on my computer, I had put Sarah's story in italics
mm-hmm.
and Judith's story in normal font. And in France, it was published like that. Sarah's
okay.
story in italic and Judith's story in normal font. But my American publisher decided, I think for some reason, explained to us that American readers didn't like italics. So they
mm-hmm.
chose the pale font for Julia
mm-hmm.
and the strong font for Sarah. And I think it works really well. And I also very much like this little design here, which of course is not in my computer, but which I think was very pretty, and I think it came out really nicely.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about you have a French husband,
mm-hmm.
and your father is French as well, correct?
That's right, and Russian.
And Russian. What has your family been, you know, how has the reaction been to that?
You mean to my book or,
yes.
or to my success?
To the book.
Well, this is not the only book that I've written.
Mm-hmm.
I've written 10 books that have been published. And before that, I mean, I started writing when I was 11. And I wrote about 15 books between the ages of 11 and 25. So my family are kind of used to me writing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is the one that changed so many things for me, because it became a huge bestseller.
I mean, specifically the subject matter. I mean, has it?
I think that when you have a writer in the family, you're used to that person having so much imagination. I think my mother was very happy that I wrote this in English. because all those books that I was telling you about that I wrote between the ages of 11 and 25 were in English. And then I switched to French when I became published. And then back to English for this one. You'd have to ask them. I think they're a little awed by everything that's been happening to me, and they're hoping that I'm sort of remaining normal and not getting swept away by all this, the excitement. And I think my kids are worried that their mom is going to change, and my husband's worried that his wife, and my mother's always worrying about me, but you know what mothers are like.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't think the subject matter, it's difficult really to answer your question, because this is like just another one of my books, except of course it's the one that drew all the attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I had already published 8 books before that, don't
Correct.
Forget.
Yeah. You mentioned in the book, you know, Sarah kind of struggles, especially when she's young, with why am I not told anything? Why do all the adults always guard me from things? You mentioned that you have told your children about this, especially while you were writing it. You actually had them accompany you to several of the different
yes.
sites. What was your decision on that? I mean, was it I'm just going to tell them, you know, at a very young age, or?
Well, when I was writing this book, I wrote this book nearly 10 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
So my children were 9 and 11. And I really think that I was so horrified by what I had discovered and how I was going to work this into the book, that I did tell them about it, and I remember that they were horrified too, and that I had to be kind of careful about what I told my daughter because she's very sensitive, and she couldn't actually quite believe what I was telling her and the photos I was showing her of all these children. And actually, when they saw the movie, they played in the very live scenes, and they were really moved by that. I'd say my kids probably know about the Veliv a lot more than, you know, kids of their generations. But I included them in this because I think it's the mother in me that made me want to write Sarah's Key. Because it's thinking about those children that sparked off this idea.
Absolutely.
And that's why the book is actually dedicated to my daughter Charlotte, because she was the model for Sarah. Mm-hmm. She was the only little 10-year-old girl that I had so close to me. So Charlotte and Sarah are very similar.
Interesting.
Different now, though, of course, because Charlotte is now this a young woman. But
yeah, you've mentioned in an interview that you actually
you've been doing a lot of homework.
Yes, absolutely. you mentioned in an interview that you had a neighbor that moved in upstairs.
Yes.
That was actually.
Where did you read that?
It was a small interview, but I came across it. You know, life kind of sometimes imitates art.
It's amazing.
What was that experience like?
Oh, I think that was the most unbelievable experience in my life. So, in the apartment just above me, just after I had finished writing Sarah's Key and was struggling to get it published, and had found my French publisher, an old couple moves in, Susie and Maurice, in their 80s. And I'm very fond of old people. I miss my grandparents a lot. I was very close to my Russian grandmother, so I kind of help these people to do their shopping, and they're so nice and sweet. And one day, Susie asks me what my new book is about. She knew I was the writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell her about Sarah, and her face changes completely. We're standing in the supermarket, and she says to me, "Tatiana, July 16th, 1942, I was your daughter Charlotte's age, and they came to get me. And they took everyone but me. They told me to hide, and they pushed me away. They told me to tear off my star. These policemen saved my life, but I didn't know that right away. And I couldn't believe this woman, this Veliv survivor, was therefore living just above my apartment. Not, you know, down the street, or not across the road, or in my, just above my levels.
Yeah.
So it was just like unbelievable. And then I said, "Would you want to read this book? Can you?"
Yeah, can you stomach it? Or
she said yes. So I gave it to her. And for about 3 or 4 days, silence. I thought, "Oh God," because the book hadn't been published yet.
Mm-hmm.
I had a pre-ARC edition, an advanced mm-hmm. reader's copy, and. Finally, she rings and says to me, "Can you come up? I want to talk to you about Sarah." So I went up there, you know, feeling really worried about how she was going to react to this book and what she was going to tell me. And she opens the door, and she's in tears. And she takes me in her arms, and she says, "I want to thank you for writing this book because people need to know." So, God, it was just like amazingly emotional.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's an amazing woman, Susie. She's become a very dear friend.
I bet.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's it.
Okay.